This is Lynn Singer coming to you live from Lotus Studios in New York City with another weekly podcast based on my book, Breaking into Brilliance. Tonight, I am speaking to Kevin Urban. Kevin Urban is a business consultant based out of New York City. His primary focus is on reconnecting people to an innate creativity and wisdom. He believes that everyone has a genius within, and his goal is to activate that genius in supporting his clients' business and life goals. I particularly wanted Kevin here tonight to investigate what circumstances move people to wake up from their unconsciousness. Welcome, Kevin.
Well, thanks for having me, Lynn.
It's great to see you.
It's great to see you.
So does divorce or death, particularly a child's death or physical trauma, are these the things that you consider cause a true awakening?
Well, I mean, I can only really talk about my own awakening, but I think a change is really change in any dynamic, relationship dynamic, business dynamic, a life dynamic. Obviously, death is something that's very powerful. And experience a death of a friend, not even a close friend, was someone that was a experience that helped launch me into having an awakening.
What happened?
Well, I was in a period of my life when my business wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. I was frustrated. I would say depressed. I was not happy with a lot of just circumstances that were happening in my life at that time. And something needed to change.
Did you have any clue that something was going to happen?
I knew something needed to change, but I come from like a sports mentality, a football mentality, or, you know, that masculine mentality of suck it up. So if something's not going well, suck it up and make it happen.
Right.
And so that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to make something that wasn't working work.
Were you asking for help?
At the time, I wasn't really asking for help. I was trying to make something happen, and I was hitting, you know, it was like faceplant after faceplant after faceplant in terms of just feeling like I was striking out.
And then
I unfortunately went to the best friend of my cousin's funeral. He was in his mid-30s and he died of cancer.
Wow.
And I went there to support my cousin because I knew it was going to be a tough funeral, and his family was down in North Carolina, and he's very close to me. And one of the things that we've always said to each other is family, you know, we'll always be there for our family, for each other. And so I believe that firmly. And so I went with him to this funeral, and I didn't expect anything to happen. In the car, as we're going, it's a Russian Orthodox funeral. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, by the way, Kevin, we're going to be standing for the next 2 hours." And I was like, "Oh,
wow.
All right." So I waited in the car. He was a pallbearer. And I'd never been to a Russian Orthodox funeral before. And
I wouldn't think so.
Well,
yeah.
Who knew? I grew up Protestant, and I was a deacon at my church. So I'm open to, you know, various religions. And so I was interested in seeing what was going on. And this funeral was very different. And it was different for a lot of reasons. The first is they brought Mike in into the sanctuary. I watched them all gather outside. I was in the car, and I watched them carry him in, and in the casket. And my cousin was there, and I was like, "Oh, well, I have like 5 minutes before the funeral starts." And so I went in, and there's a vestibule in the church, and so I was expecting there to be one there. And I found a room, and I found a room full of people, and it was like, you know, it felt like I was walking in on something. I was late. And I was handed a candle, and people were standing around the casket, and there were no chairs, and everyone was standing. Incense. There was Russian chanting going on in the background. There was sunlight coming in that was misting through the incense. And it was, I mean, filmically, it was stunning.
Very evocative.
Yes. the symbology that was present was amazing.
Powerful. Yeah. So it was priming you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being there for the circumstances, unfortunately, Mike was in his 30s, died of cancer and young. And the last time I had seen him, I knew I wasn't going to see him again. And it was like, what do you say to this guy? What do you say? I don't know what you say to someone that you'll never see again, because you know that they're not going to make it through their cancer treatment. So I'm listening, and we're standing, and this is a 2-hour service. And during that time, I was reflecting a lot. I was reflecting a lot on life and where I was frustrated in life myself. And I was thinking about the business, and all of a sudden the reverend or the priest, or I'm not sure what you call him at that point, he said that Mike was forgiven of all his sins. And I was sitting there thinking, well, I've been with Mike when they, there's been some whatever sinning going on. And if he's forgiven, in death, why can't I be forgiven now?
In life.
And
wow.
I forgave myself.
Wow.
And I forgave my business partner, and I forgave the business for not doing what I wanted it to do. And
fantastic.
And all of a sudden, it was like a cork went off. Everything that I had been holding back, it was an explosion of energy that I hadn't felt.
What do you mean exactly? What were you feeling? It was an opening.
It was an opening. It was clarity. It was true forgiveness.
You felt love go through you. You felt an energy of strength, of beauty, of love. Were you frightened? What?
I was never frightened. And there was also what I found there. Yes, there was beauty. I found that service to be probably the most beautiful thing that I've ever experienced. The most loving, the most present that I've ever experienced in my life. And it was full of beauty, and it was full of love, and it was full of support. You know, we stood in circle around Mike's casket, and we were looking at each other, and we were looking at Mike, and the casket was open, and they do a last rite symbol, a last rite ritual, which is the last kiss.
Wow.
In which you kiss the forehead of the deceased.
Right.
To say goodbye.
But in you, the cork went off.
Yeah.
So what were you feeling in you, inside? You're feeling what was happening, the beauty that was being created, the power. Sounds to me like there was a lot of innocence there as well.
I let go of the BS.
You let go of it. So you felt in your own body a cleansing. Did your body feel bigger? Did it feel taller? Did it feel wider? Did you feel more energy in you?
Well, I felt a
lot more energy.
I mean, it was enough to power me through about 2.5 weeks of just clarity.
Wow.
And also not just clarity, but there was a lot of synchronicity that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the energy that I needed in order to make a change.
Mm-hmm. What was that change? What did you do? What were the synchronicities, and how did you... What was moving forward in these next 2 weeks? The energy you said that was powering you forward. What happened?
Well, for example, it was really interesting. I was shopping for clothes afterwards because it was a brisk autumn day and I wasn't dressed properly. And so I went to Banana Republic and I was shopping, and all of a sudden... these women were looking at me, and they were just like, wow, you are just resonating. You are like, there's something about you.
You're charismatic.
Yeah. I mean, it's what I know to be true about me, but not what I show the rest of the world.
Right.
And so when I'm fully free, that's what people see. And so I was, I don't know if I was resonating at a higher frequency, but it was, I ended up going out for a business meeting out to California, and they gave me a terrible room, and I ended up getting the hotel was in the midst of a change. And so I was able to work it out so that I got free breakfast and lunch. And
so you were in yourself in a way, you were in your authority. This is what I'm hearing. You were in your authority. You were in your demand. You're knowing who you were, what you were rightfully expecting. And so when something is given to you that's less than what you should be having, you walk up and say, no, no, this is what I do need, and I would like you to fix it.
Yeah.
Without any qualms, without any shame, without any demands, without any judgment, but this isn't correct. Let's make it right. And I feel the authority in you as you're speaking right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, it's exciting.
It's clarity, and it's
mm-hmm. Your own power. You are in your own power.
Right. Which so once you've tasted that,
you know what it is.
You know what it is. The thing that's challenging is to live in that from day to day, week to week, month to month, that I've and that's the challenge. I've had tastes of it, and I'm learning now how to extend that over a longer period of time.
I think the way to do that, because I've had a similar event and I've heard others having similar events, the way to do that is through meditation. And it is also what I find helpful is certain acting exercises. Put you right back into your body. But you have to do them a lot. Can't do it once in a while, you know, to keep you in memory of yourself, of who you really are. This is extraordinary.
This was a moment that I will, a period that I'd never had before. And I have a meditation practice, and I'm not doing all of the acting exercises that I've learned over the years as often as I would like. But I do know that the more I connect to self, the better.
This has been wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Lynn.
And Kevin's TEDx talk on The Price of Pleasing is a love letter to the arts, and it can be found where?
On my website.
On your website?
Yeah.
And on YouTube?
No, just on my website.
Just on your website. And Kevin's website is kevinurban.com. This is Lynn Singer, and this has been another Breaking into Brilliance podcast. Thank you for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed this discussion, and until we meet again, light, beauty, peace be with you.